Things unto the Lord, all contribute to those things, and so it's been a blessing to me. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll continue on with the message we started last week. We're talking about the importance of good communication, and in 1 Peter 3, as we've been going through these general epistles here, we find that they pertain to everyday practical Christian living. Lots and lots of things that can be applied to our normal daily life, and the Word of God gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness in His Word. If we'll just apply it, we'll find success there. And so we've been working our way through, started in James, and we went through the book of James. Now we're in the book of 1 Peter, and we're up to chapter 3, and we've been looking at God's commands for husbands and wives in their home, in their relationship. How do we have success? How do we have success in our marriage? How do we have a happy home? And God gives some commands here for the husbands and the wives and how they ought to interact with each other and respond to each other. And so we've covered verses 1 through 6, which relate to the wife, and we started in verse 7 last week. And we started just in this first phrase, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." And we talked about how that word "likewise" is referring to something that he's already been talking about. And so as we go back into the context, we find the immediate context is the issue of submission. A wife's submission to her husband, though unsaved, because of her godly life, she can submit to her husband, and he can come to know Christ. If you go farther back into chapter 2, we find this issue of submission. As citizens, we ought to submit to governmental authorities as long as it doesn't cause us to violate God's commands and be obedient to God. We find this issue of submission, servants being subject to their masters, or we could make the application, you know, an employee to his employer. We have this idea built into our life that we need to submit to an authority somewhere, some way, somehow. And so then he gets to verse 7, he says, "Likewise." And he's saying, husbands have a responsibility to be submissive. And we talked about how that doesn't refer to submitting to the authority of the wife, per se, or to the leadership of the wife, but being submissive to her needs, being knowledgeable of her needs, that it's your responsibility to, as a husband, to take care of your wife and meet those needs, whether they're physical needs, whether they're emotional needs, whether they're spiritual needs. We submit ourselves to the needs of our wife. Which is exactly why he states that we are to dwell with them according to knowledge. Because you can't submit yourself to those needs, husbands, if you don't know who your wife is. If you don't know what makes her tick, if you don't know what those needs are. And so that's where we started last week, and we talked about how there are many things that will help us know our spouse. One of those things, perhaps one of the most important, is good communication in the home. And so we talked about communication killers. We talked about how communication is two-way. Either you're communicating something good, something positive, or you're communicating something negative. In every exchange, you're communicating something. Right? Remember this? We used the illustration. I gave you an example. You know, a dad who sits down to a meal with his family and Junior spills milk all over the place, when dad blows up at Junior and says, "Look what you did! You can't do anything right! You know, why do you always make messes?" So on. You do that a few times and you're communicating something. You're communicating to your child that dad blows up if I mess up. Dad is not approachable. And we talked about how, you know what, you better watch out. If that's you, because later on in life, when those children get a little bit older, they're not coming to dad when they really mess up. They're not coming to you to help them with their problems, because you've already communicated how you're going to react. But then we talked about a positive communication, that same scenario where little Johnny or Junior, you know, spills his milk everywhere, and instead of blowing up at him, you're patient. You're kind. You know what? Accidents happen, honey. Let's just clean it up. Let's try to be more careful next time, okay? And move on. You've communicated something to your children. The dad is approachable. The dad is trustworthy. The dad's not going to, you know, scream and holler at me every time that I mess up. And you know what? You're going to create that ability to have communication with your children. And so we talked about how communication is two-way, positive, negative. You're always communicating something in every exchange within your home. We talked about some communication killers, like that one we just mentioned, the blow-up or explosion reaction. It's a communication killer between a husband and a wife. You know, we talked about how we don't like to have our shortcomings brought out to us, especially as men, right? What, me? Shortcomings? You kidding? No, we're all sinful people. We're human. We all fail at something, you know? We all have shortcomings. And sometimes when they're pointed out to us, get a little defensive, right? And we talked about this blow-up or explosion reaction. You know, your flaws are pointed out, and you blow up at somebody. You're communicating to your wife. You're communicating to your spouse. You can't come near my problems. You can't come near my shortcomings. And what are you doing? You're building walls. You're building walls around yourself that keep your spouse out. And you defeat communication in your home. Which communication is so important for knowing who your spouse is. We talked about the silent treatment as a communication killer. You know, you get older, more mature in life, you realize it's not really worth it to blow up all over the neighborhood where everybody can hear your spats and your, especially over here. I hear what the Humphreys say and do all the time. Let me tell you, there's a reason I'm preaching. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's a joke. Well, sound travels really well. It's more like the other way around. They hear what my kids are saying or doing. I know, okay. Anyway, back to the subject at hand. We're talking about how you get older, more mature, you know, you realize it's not worth it to blow up everywhere. You know, we're past that. And so instead, whenever there's a disagreement, we give the silent treatment. We're just not going to talk to them. You know, I'm mad at my spouse. And, you know, I'm going to act like I'm offended and give the cold shoulder. Communication killer. And so often adults act just like six-year-olds when it comes to how they treat each other and so on. How much better if two people learn to freely communicate their differences one with another without fear of overreaction so as to avoid conflict? It opens the gateway and the doors for communication in your home. And so we talked about a lack of communication or faulty communication as being one of the biggest causes, chief causes of marriage breakups and divorce in our world. And it ought not so to be, especially among God's people. And so how do we have good communication? How do we have happy homes? We talked about how the Bible gives us a very good formula. And if we would put it to practice, it would improve our communication. So then we looked over at James chapter 1 and verse 19. So I invite you to turn there. We saw in verse 7 of 1 Peter 3, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. We didn't get all the way through that message, and so we're going to finish it up here today. But in James chapter 1 and verse 19, here's the formula that God gives for good communication in the home. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Great formula for home life. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And so we talked about how the first principle of good communication is learning how to listen, first and foremost. How do you have good communication in your home? Learn to listen, and listen intently. Because a lot of times what you're hearing is not actually what's being said. Have you ever had that situation in your home, husbands and wives? You know, you're trying to communicate something, or the wife is trying to say something, trying to express her feelings, but you've already got a preconceived idea in your mind, and so what you're hearing is not exactly what's being said. And we illustrated that. That only causes us to jump to conclusions. And what so often is the case when we jump to conclusions? What is the conclusion right or wrong? Typically, it's wrong when you jump to a conclusion. And it only causes more problems and more strife. So it's so important to have that good communication. We talked about how we can listen defensively. Remember that? listening defensively, which leads to more tension. We used an illustration how a wife comes to her husband and she says, "I'm really concerned about our finances." And because he's already on edge or he's already defensive, what he hears is not really what she means. And because he's already listening defensively, what he hears is, she thinks we're broke. Simply by her saying, "I'm really concerned about our finances." He feels intimidated by that, and so his reaction is, "Oh, so you don't think that I make enough money? You don't think that I provide well enough for you and the kids? Is that how it is?" Jumping to conclusions. When that's not at all what she meant. And so because he responds defensively, then she responds defensively, and guess what happens? The war is on, right? Whereas if you take that same scenario, when a husband is swift to listen, to learn to listen without judgment, he would humbly listen to his wife's concerns and her communication with him, he would have understanding in his heart and his feedback would be totally different. She would say, "Honey, I'm really concerned about our finances." He would say, "Really? What are you concerned about, honey?" And his calm and genuine reply would then allow her to express her feelings and her concerns in a way that neither of them would feel threatened. And so if husbands and wives and parents and children begin to learn to listen to each other, there'd be a whole lot better communication going on in homes. We talked about listening half-heartedly. Men are notorious for this. I'm preoccupied with something else, my cell phone, you know, or Facebook, or whatever. I don't have Facebook. It's a sin. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's not. I just don't have time for it. I just got that, you know, that wasn't biblical, but it was a jab either way. So, you know, we're preoccupied with stuff. Maybe it's sports, maybe it's job, maybe it's whatever, and our mind is somewhere else. And our wives are trying to communicate something to us. And so we're like, yeah, right, you know. It's like that old, you know, mother-daughter kind of commercial or whatever you've seen on TV where mom calls and the daughter answers the phone and she's listening to mom going, la, 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 like this, right? So she puts the phone down, goes about her business. You know, half an hour later she comes back and says, "Yep, mom," puts the phone back down and mom's still yammering on. Sometimes men can do that with their wives because they feel like they're too busy with other things to really listen to what she's trying to say. And what we do is we build barriers that prevent communication between husbands and wives. We build up walls and we communicate to our wife, "You know what? I don't really value what you have to say. Your thoughts and opinions aren't that important to me because I'm too busy with other things." You see what I'm saying? You hear? You with me? These are communication killers in the home. And God says, husbands, you need to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Knowledge of who she is. That word is gnosis. It means intimately to know who she is so that you can better meet her needs, etc., etc. All right, so that's how far we got last week. Oh yeah, we also talked about in communication, people are poor communicators when, you know, you're in a conversation with somebody and you're already thinking about maybe it's a debate or maybe it's a disagreement or maybe it's a different philosophy or whatever. You're already thinking about what your comeback is going to be or you're already thinking about what your rebuttal is going to be, and you're not listening to what somebody actually has to say, and you don't even give them a chance to get a word in because you've already got something else to say. That's not really communication. It's a poor communicator, actually. We need to learn to listen. And men, we need to create an environment where our wives really know and feel like we're listening, that her thoughts and her opinions are very valuable to us. And if you think otherwise, you're the one with the problem. If you think otherwise, you don't get it. Because God gave you a wife for a reason and helpmeet. Meaning that you are not complete without her. meaning that there is something that you do need that she has to offer to make you a better person. And if you feel otherwise, you're the one with the problem. We are not complete in and of ourselves. We need the input of our wives. Nobody knows you better. We talked about how sometimes we needed to submit to her good advice that she can bring. We don't like to hear about our shortcomings, but nobody knows you better than your wife. I think I've said this before, but I don't know how many times my wife's input to me has enabled me to better be a father to my girls, to my children. You know what? I'm not a girl. Better not hear any comments to the contrary. In fact, there should have been a whole lot of amens coming out there. Amen. I don't have the emotions of a little girl. Sometimes it's hard for me, as a manly man, to relate to those little feelings and those little emotions. And I could handle something in a certain way that to me, hey, that's the way you handle it. But it could crush a little girl. And there's so many times when my wife has, when I've had some interaction with my children, my wife has come back to me and said, you know what, you probably should have been a little more sensitive to her. You probably should have understood that she doesn't receive things that way. Here's how she receives things. What you just said probably made her feel this way. Which, you know what, to me is very valuable because I'm not a little girl. I don't have those emotions and those feelings. And her input is so wise for me, and I can take that and I can say, yeah, you know what, you're probably right about that. I didn't see it that way. And next time, I can respond differently. I can deal with it differently, which helps my children and helps our relationship together. Understand what I'm saying? There's all kinds of examples where her input is so valuable. But if you've already shown her, man, that her input is not very valuable to you, if you've already communicated to her that her ideas are stupid in your mind, you have created a whole world of hurt for yourself. And you better work extra hard to turn that relationship around. Learning to listen, first of all. Because you break those walls, you build walls that prevent communication. You're not going to have a happy home. So then we started talking about developing a sense of security in your home, especially with the wife. And if we don't learn to listen, we're going to miss much in the way of experiencing joy and happiness and close communication in our home. You're going to retard a closeness that you could build with your wife. She's going to shut down. And you're going to do yourself a whole lot of harm. All right? And so then we started talking about the second thing. That was being swift to hear. Learning to listen. Number two was that let every man be slow to speak. We often can get ourselves into a whole lot of trouble with the tongue by what we say, things that we say. And so we started talking about that and how the words that we use can kill communication in our home, or it can develop it and bring it out. We started looking at, you know, things that you shouldn't say to your spouse. But so often we do, you know, disagreements, whatever. We start out sentences like this: you always, or you never. We so often will begin sentences with our spouse in that way. And is that exactly true? No. You know, you don't always do whatever this is, and or you don't, you never do this. Is that really true? No, it's often not true. But our words can carry a lot of weight to them. It would be far better if we expressed ourselves in a different way, like, I feel like this is how it is, or I need this, rather than you always or you never. You're going to get your point across a whole lot better with good communication skills and part of that is having wisdom on how to use our tongue. We started talking about different roles that we can play. And I was illustrating it, giving it a label. Like, you know, the person who always says, you always or you never, they're kind of the judge and the jury. They start and end the argument right there with the words that they use. We looked at the professor, the one who is the professor. You may not play the judge, but you may play the professor. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love vaunteth not itself. The professor acts superior. The professor talks down to the other person, and his conversation is filled with constant put-downs like, well, that's a stupid idea. You ever found yourself saying that to your wife, man? She tries to express her feelings or gives you an idea, and the words that you use are, you know, condescending. Like, that's a dumb idea. Or maybe you would say something, if you had an ounce of brains, you'd know that that is stupid. One man said to his wife, how could you be so dumb and so beautiful all at the same time? Her reply to him was, well, God made me dumb so I'd be attracted to you, but he made me beautiful so you'd be attracted to me, or something along those lines. Oh, it's backwards. I got it backwards. Let me read it again. All right, start over. Let me read it again. Rewind. Right? Okay, so one man said to his wife, how could you be so dumb and so beautiful at the same time? She said, God made me beautiful so you'd be attracted to me, but he made me dumb so I'd be attracted to you. There, that's better. That's more offensive to the men. The point is, when you play the professor and you put somebody else down, you begin attacking their self-worth. And how often do men do that to their wives? You know, we are not necessarily emotional creatures where words from somebody else may not really bother us that much. You know, you could call me dumb and stupid. I don't care because I probably think the same about you. I'm kidding. I don't. But you know, you say that to your wife, and you crush her feelings. You attack her self-worth. You make her feel small and worthless, and shame on you if that's how you treat her. Because God said, the very next phrase is not only to dwell with them according to knowledge, but to give honor unto the wife. And we'll talk about that next week. Lord willing, what does that mean exactly? Or how does that apply exactly in our lives? Then we look at the psychologist. You may not play the judge, you may not play the professor, but maybe you play the psychologist. And the Bible says love is not puffed up. The psychologist is always figuring out why the other person does what they do. They analyze the other individual. And it often goes something like this. You might be in an argument or a disagreement. You say, let me tell you why you said what you did. You know, let me tell you why you did that. Do you know why you think the way that you do? And you try to get into the other person's heart and analyze their motives and judge their motives. And the Bible strictly forbids it, telling us not to judge one another. But only God is the one who can do that. And so often, that analytical type of approach, even with our wives, it can cause us to feel superior, you know, about ourselves. Like, I know why you think the way that you do. When we probably don't really even have a clue, actually, about what the motives really are. And the way that we use our tongue can be a real communication killer in the home. How about the historian? You may not play the psychologist, but maybe you play the historian. The Bible says that love thinketh no evil. You know what that means? Real love doesn't keep score. And how often does this play out in homes and marriages? You know, you might get into a disagreement or an argument about something, and as a smokescreen and a defense mechanism, You kind of change the subject and you start digging up the old history about, well, you remember how you did this and you did that and you remember this and you remember that, and it basically becomes a rerun of old arguments that you've had in your past. The historian, you know what? Don't do that. The past is the past. The past is behind us. And it doesn't do any good in our marriages to start digging up old history. In fact, maybe there were some offenses that you said, I forgive you for. But every time you bring it back up, it shows and proves that you didn't really forgive. You're keeping score. That's not real love. So often people will, as a diversionary smokescreen, leave the subject, start talking about something that happened yesterday, last month, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, etc. Leave the past in the past. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We've got enough problems to deal with today. One man said, my wife gets historical. He's talking to his pastor. He goes, my wife gets historical. And the pastor said, you mean hysterical? He said, no, historical. She always goes back and digs up all the old other stuff, and it becomes a rerun of old arguments. The pastor said, stop. Don't do that. Close the door on yesterday. There's enough bad stuff from yesterday. We don't need to go back and dig it up. Sometimes men play the dictator with the words that they use. Don't play the dictator. You know, there's a lot of bullies out there. The world doesn't need another one. And the Bible says that love seeketh not her own. Oftentimes, husbands will try to show force with their wives to get them to do what they want them to do. And a person who shows force in his communication is a poor communicator. You know, if you have ever heard a person say, I'm not going to allow her to do that. You know, wife, I won't you allow you to do this. Or, I demand that you do this or do that. Someone might say, if you do that one more time, you're going to get what you deserve. Try that once more and see what happens. You know, bullying in our language, in our words. And if you begin to demand and coerce, you know, and show force, you're not a good communicator. That's not how we're supposed to communicate one with another. Now, certainly a wife is to submit to her husband in everything, as unto the Lord. But husbands, if you respond right, if you're what you should be, if you are the spiritual leader of your home, and you treat her with respect and kindness and graciousness and love, you know what? It is built inside of her to want to submit to you, to please you. And if you are what you should be, it's going to be a whole lot easier for her to be what she should be. You don't have to walk around being a bully and demanding to get your way if you are what you should be first. Then there's the critic. Don't play the critic. Love, according to the Word of God, does not behave itself unseemly. You know what we should never, ever do, men? Here's a little bit of advice. This is some good advice for you single guys. All right? Mark it down. Write it down. It's a gold nugget for you. Never compare your mate with somebody else. Don't do that. You know, so often, words come out of our mouths like, well, you know, so-and-so's wife, she does this, and she's this way, but you should be more like her. Uh-oh. Bad move.